Thanksgiving, there's always something to be thankful for, even when things are not going completely your way. And the church said, amen. I want to talk again today about the thankworthy family, not the thankful family, but the thankworthy family. We started with 1 Peter 2:19, the King James Version says, for this is thankworthy, and he's talking about those of us who are employed and work. He said, if your employer accuses you of something wrongfully, he said, consider it thankworthy that they're wrong. Are you hearing me? Or consider it admirable that you would not be one that would commit that wrong. Because doing right is thankworthy. But to do wrong is not. There is something about family, especially these times of the year, that's just really, really at the forefront of everything we do. All of us go through stages of maturity from the time we are born to this moment right now. We're maturing. We all want to establish ourselves with a family. In fact, studies show that some of the most traumatic events in children's lives is the loss of a parent through death or the breakup of a home. Because children consider family the most important thing on the planet. Listen. But isn't it funny that as we want to be identified with the most important group on the planet, we constantly want to establish our own individual identity. Are you listening? We all, as we get older, even as we were growing up, remember, I can't wait until I get out on my own. Yes, you said that. Oh, I can't wait until I can't wait until we're all wanting to be self-sufficient, and we want to establish ourselves, but only to a certain degree. Because this whole time that we're maturing and we want to establish our own identity, listen to this, we want friends around us. We don't want to be alone. We want people around us that come up to us and go, man, you were good. Wow, that was great. And those that come up and go, that's the best you could do, I'm not going to tell you which finger you want to flip off at them. That's the best you can do. And as we go through these stages of maturity where we're wanting to establish our own identity, we want to get around people that like us. We want to comb my hair so they'll like us. And we want to wear clothes that, oh, Mom, I don't want to wear that. My friends will think I'm so stupid. It's not what you want to wear. It's what you think they want you to wear. Try doing something you want to do instead of what they want you to do. That's how you establish your identity. Instead of chasing after them to get them to like you, how about reverse that and let them come after you? See, that's the Jesus style. The Jesus style, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. If you don't want to hang with me, I can hang with him. Are you hearing me? And all of this time that we want our family to accept us, and we want our family to like us. But at the same time, we're wanting to break away. Always listen to me and don't ever forget this. You will need family. Years ago, in fact, I can tell you the year, it was 1969. I went into a restaurant and saw two books. And I said, I've got to have those. They were $2, they were expensive. Now, brand new ones are $13.50. And it's this little book right here. Dan Valentine wrote this about family. A family is the most important unit of all mankind. It's the core around which great nations are built. Family is the foundation of any great society. A family is many things. A family is love around the dinner table. Devotion, going to church together. Wait. Devotion, going to church together. Okay, yes. Friendship, laughing under the same roof. A family is a light on the front porch on a dark night. A family is happy songs around a piano. A family is a dog and a cat, and uncles and aunts and cousins and grandparents. Like all groups of human beings, with the frailties of human beings, families will taunt and fight and bicker. Don't shout me down because I'm reading real good. They will taunt and fight and bicker among each other, but when trouble threatens from outside the clan, there's an instant closing of the ranks against the outsiders. A family is eating Thanksgiving dinner together. A family is attending church on Easter. A family is feeling proud together on the 4th of July. I don't care what the woke community says. And remembering birthdays and sending each other Valentines on Valentine's Day. A family is laughing together at private family jokes. That when we tell them, we always say, don't you ever tell that to anybody. A family is a group of people with respect for each other's private dreams and hopes and ideas. A family is all of these things, but most of all, a family is a group of human beings working together to build something beautiful and lasting. And I love this last line. A family is truly a colony of heaven here on earth. Of all of the units that you can form on this planet, there is no unit that will ever be as strong for you as your family. The only unit stronger than your natural family should be your spiritual family. That when you stumble and fall, we don't stand and stare at you while you bleed. We help you get up. And we brush you off. And we don't remind you of your past failures. Because he that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives all men to all men liberally without finding fault. You will be accused of enough in this life. Don't ever be accused of abandoning your family. It doesn't mean you have to approve of everything that goes on in your family. But a thankworthy family is a family that knows when the going gets tough, you can count on me. The scripture also says, 1 Corinthians 4:4, my conscience is clear. See, it isn't what you think is right. It's what God's word says is right. It's not what society says family should be. It's what God's word says family should be. And if you don't think God deals harshly with family members that totally rebel against the parameters of the family, ask Lucifer. Let that sink in. God is not here to baby you through this thing. In fact, through the Apostle Paul, he said, grow up and act like a grown-up. He said, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. It's the Lord that judges me. In other words, what God's word says is what I have to go by, not what I feel like. Well, I feel good about that. That's not the issue. The issue is, what does God's word say? Today, Proverbs 17:6, read it with me. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. You, as a child, should never allow anything in your life for your parents but godly pride. Yeah, but you don't know my parents. I'm not saying you approve of everything they've done. I want to let you in on a little secret. Look this way. I wasn't a perfect parent when my children were home. Oh my Lord, Pastor. How do you know that? Because I look back and wish there were some things I'd done different. I'm just glad that I had learned years and years ago to teach them the way to walk. Is everybody listening? Last week, we talked that the thankworthy family is not shaped by society's definitions. It's not determined by ancestral history. The thankworthy family isn't flawless. Your family will not be flawless. There is an old saying that is very true. There's a black sheep in every family. Whatever that means. The thankworthy family is determined to be biblically faithful. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. And it's sustained by prayer. See, as we grow up and as we develop, are you listening? We still want to have our own identity. Even when we get married, one of the issues that we run into as married people is, how do I maintain my own identity and identify with this lady that I've married? One of the things that we have to understand as husbands and wives is that you're not trying to be exactly like one another. It's okay for one of you to be a square and another to be a circle. It's okay to stay that way because you can still support one another. It's those things that you get together on and say, in our home, there's not going to be profanity. In our home, there's not going to be drugs and improper relationships brought into this house. The two of you can decide on that. And your children, as you raise them, may be like the one young lady who said to her mother, my goal in this life is to get out and do everything you've told me not to do. Several years ago, that same lady said, I have found out everything that mom told me to do was right. And now I have ruined my life because I wanted to establish my own rules and my own identity when all she was trying to do was teach me his rules. So, this Thanksgiving, what is going to make my family admirable? First, it needs to be established as a Christian family or a Christ-first family. Matthew 6:33 said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I don't care what your dad did or what your mom did, you seek God's way first. What do I mean by a Christ-first family? It means, remember 1 Corinthians 4:4? Although my conscience is clear, it doesn't mean I'm right. The Christ first family says, we're going to do first what the Lord says. We're going to be tithers. We're going to be Bible readers. We're going to be a group, a unit of prayer. When my family calls and says, I need prayer, I don't do that religious thing of, I'll be praying for you and never do it. I'm preaching really good. I'm really amazed at the number of people that will say, oh, I'll pray for you, and they never think about it. If you've not established in your personal life or in your home a prayer book, do that. Write things down. I take it and lay it out every day. Oh, do you have? I literally have a prayer book, and I have one that I keep on my computer and have it in my phone. Your name's in it. Your name's in it. Your name's in it. All of you sitting here today, your name is in my book. A Christ-first family is, what would Jesus do in this? He'd pray for the sick. He'd listen. Are you hearing me? It doesn't mean he would always be apart. Remember, I told you last week that one time his mom and his brothers and sisters came to see him, and everybody said, hey, your family's outside. He said, this is my family. Because his mother and his brothers and sisters had come to take him because they said, we think something's mentally wrong with him. Your family will not always think that you're the greatest thing on the planet. Don't ever let it change the way you know God looks at you. They'll think all you're trying to do is get all the attention and that it's all about you. You can't help what they think. One of the most powerful things I've learned in my life is I can't be responsible for what you think or what you say about me. But I am responsible for who I am and what I say. So I'm going to be Christian first. What does the Lord want? Your children should first thing on their mind, what does the Lord want me to do? Well, do you have to ask him about everything? If in everything you give thanks, in everything you ask him, should I do this? And when the Lord speaks to them and they come to you and say, Dad, Mom, the Lord said, so, well, I really don't feel like that's a good thing. Immediately agree with them and say, I trust you to hear the voice of the Lord. Because a Christ first family is a tithing family of everything. And tithe, I said it last week and I'll say it again. I'm amazed at the young people in this place that tithe to the penny. That's a sign of great things to come. Always remember, my tithe is not my leverage on God. It is my covenant with God. If he doesn't do anything else, I'm going to. So first, the thankworthy family is Christian. I'm going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Look at this. And all of these things, do you know what Matthew 6 was talking about? He was talking about provision. He was talking about clothes. He was talking about houses. He was talking about land. He said, all of these things will be, look at that word, will be what? Given. Say it.
Given.
What are you working so hard for? He said he'd give it to you. Who? I'm just going to let that just stay right there. Secondly, the thankworthy family is united. They are in agreement. A house divided against itself cannot stand. If you're a single parent, understand what the old president said needs to be true in your house. The buck stops here, babe. Children should never think they could go to mom and get her to change dad's mind. Children need to understand when they talk to mom, whether she's the birth mom or not, she's going to be in agreement with daddy. Unless parents are on the same page, the house is going to crumble. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, I can't do anything I want to do. You better be glad, because you'd be killing yourself if I let you do everything you wanted to do. That word liberty literally means where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is unity. Where there is unity in the home, nobody's screaming at one another, nobody's yelling at one another. It doesn't mean you don't get angry with one another. Are you hearing me? I never heard my dad call my mom stupid. I never heard my mom call my dad, you're just a dummy. There will never be peace and power in your home as long as your mouth says things like that. Because when that's going on, the Spirit of God is not in charge of the house. Getting quiet in this Pentecostal church. Do you see where I have written here refer to James 3:16. When you get home, read that. It says, where there is envy and strife and dissension, there is every evil work. That's why we don't let strife and dissension stay in a house. We take care of it right now. And if you're going to walk around and pout because, oh, they paid attention to my brother more than they pay attention to me. I've heard grown-ups, 50-year, oh, they just grow up and stop that. Give them something to consider you think worthy for and stop being a wuss. Oh, good job, good job, good job. Somebody gonna come along and tell that kid, that's a sorry job. You can't work here. Don't just point out when it's good job, point out when they missed it. You didn't do that right. My mom, Jeff, clean your room. 2.5 minutes later, the room's clean. In my opinion. Mom comes in there and says, I want you to do this all over. And she'd go and she'd just pull the bed apart. And now clean this room like it needs to be clean. Whoa, Pastor, that was awful. Greatest lesson I ever learned. Do it right the first time or don't do it. Because see, if you get a job with somebody and you're not doing the job right, you're slowing everybody else down and you're cutting down on the productivity of the company and all that raise you think you're supposed to get, you're hindering it. Ooh, that's good preaching. Thirdly, a thankworthy family, buckle your seatbelts, is patriotic. And I had to write this down. This is the definition of patriotic. Read it with me. A patriot is defined as a person who loves, supports, and defends his or her country and its interests with devotion. Write down 1 Samuel 17. You're going to read about David going to fight Goliath. Do you know why he went to fight Goliath? He heard him talk ugly about the God of Israel. And he said to Saul, have you guys heard what this man is saying about the God of Israel? That's patriotic. He said, I'm not going. Wait. What does the guy get that whips this dude? There's always a prize for defeating the enemy. Do you know what? When David got before him in verses 45 to 47, and the giant said, you sent me this kid. And David said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. I come to you in the name of the Lord. God wiped Goliath out because David was God first, and he was patriotic. And God made him king. Is this good preaching? Well, I went to college and my professor, you tell your college professor to mind their own business. I paid their salary. This is how we believe about our country in this house. Be careful where you send your kids and keep them straight while they're gone. Just because it says it's a Christian college means zero these days. Fourthly, this is last. Get ready, Miss Angie. The thankworthy family is submissive to Scripture, to each other, and to authority. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path." Ladies and gentlemen, I love you with all of my heart, but I'm going to do what he says first. Secondly, I'm going to be submissive. See, the same scripture in Ephesians 5 that tells the wife to submit to her husband, the verse before that, verse 21, says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." I submit. I have an older sister that's this tall. She literally looks up to me. She's that tall. And every time she sees me, "Hello, little brother." But I submit to her. Do you know why? Because we belong to the same family here and there. I was talking to one of the children this past week, and we were talking scripture. And they said, you don't know what it's how much a joy it is to talk to you about the scripture. I said, "Look, when I talk to you, it's not father and son. You're my brother. Yeah, I'm your daddy here, but do you realize because you've made Jesus Lord of your life, we're brothers." We both had to put the phone down and have just a little shout for a little bit. Submissive to one another and submissive to authority, according to Romans 13. Teach your children. The reason we have kids that do not honor the authority in the cities and the counties called police is because nobody's taught them to submit. Remember 1 Corinthians 4:4? The Apostle Paul said, "Look, just because I think I'm right doesn't mean I am." Wow. Because if I'm in the right and they're in the wrong, then that's thankworthy. But always act honorable to those who are in charge. Several years ago, I was on my way to church. I'm closing. I was on my way to church and they had rerouted traffic. And you know how the exit, you can go up just a little bit and there's a little grass. You could cut across on the grass. I mean, it wasn't 10 feet of grass. And so I was trying to get to church. And so I thought I'd just move over and go that way. Barney Fife comes running out. "Hold it! Hold it! Hold it!" And he gets right in my window and screams, "Do you know that was highly illegal?" Devin and Lindsay are in the back seat. They are laughing. Sherry's covering her mouth. This guy is this far from my face screaming at me. And I said, "You know what? You are right. I am late for church. I am the pastor."
"That's okay, but that was highly illegal."
Do you know what made him the authority? It wasn't his high-pitched voice. It was the badge he had on. Respect the badge, folks. Has this helped anybody? This is important as we close. I want you to stand. This Thanksgiving, when you pray, remember Philippians chapter 1, verses 3-6. "I thank my God, every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day to now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. When you pray, do you ever say, Father, I thank you, and start calling their names instead of praying, oh God, help them to be good. Help them to do. Father, I thank you for Lauren. I thank you for the anointing on him. I thank you for Devin. I thank you for the anointing on them. I thank you for Lindsay. Thank you for Paula and Kayla. Thank you for Taylor. John and Luke, thank you. Thank you for my sister Dorlette, Pam, Denise, Candace. Thank you for my wife, Sharon. Thank you for Scott. Thank you for Grant. Thank you for Miss Lois. Thank you for Logan. Do you ever pray and call their name and say, Father, thank you for them? This Thanksgiving, give thanks for your family, your natural family, and your spiritual family, because they are thankworthy and there's always something to be thankful for. Oh, I just wish they would stop it. And say this, thank you, Jesus, for my children, for my wife. Thank you for my country. Thank you for those who protect the country, who watch out for it. In everything, give thanks. Bow your head. You can pray in your own way as you would like to right now, but I just feel impressed to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, as Paul said in Philippians 1, I just thank God for these every time I remember them. May they experience the best Thanksgiving they've ever experienced. Heavenly Father, when we get together as families for Thanksgiving and Christmas, may we go into that family gathering purposeful in our heart to be the most peace-making person in attendance. To be the kindest and most loving. To be the most generous with our love to others. In the name of Jesus. Those who are struggling with issues in their family, I pray for them now. But we want to first make you first in our home. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we want to be submissive to each other. We want to teach our children to be patriotic. Heavenly Father, we want to remember always to be thankful for all we have. And we praise you for today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256, visit us online at zionca.org, or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.